Turn in your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Verse 15 is the verse that we want. But we will read the context beginning with verse 13 so that we understand how Jesus Christ got to what he said in verse 15. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. The Bible says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you," and here's our beginning text, "whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them." Today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the stages of spiritual maturity. The stages of spiritual maturity. But in order to do that, what we have to do is we have to have a beginning. And the beginning of spiritual maturity is in verse 15. "Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to do some things for us today that we have to ask you to do because we can't do them for ourselves. Father, in this message, you have shown me verses that indicate there truly is spiritual maturity in our lives as Christians. There's a starting point and an ending point and growth throughout that's anticipated. But Father, for these words that are in these notes, these scriptures that we'll turn to be communicated to the hearers, Lord, there has to be mental attentiveness. There has to be spiritual awareness. There has to be a receptiveness in the heart to benefit by these words. I can't do that. You can. So I pray today, Father, that you will help us to listen to you, that you will help us to understand what you're saying, that you will help us, Father, to put our thoughts and opinions of ourselves aside and listen to what you have to say, what you want us to do. Father, help us to learn from these things and learn from them well enough that we can live by them. I pray, Heavenly Father, for any soul here without Christ, that he or she, by hearing the words of God, would recognize his or her need for Jesus, be willing to receive him today. For those who are saved at some point in their spiritual maturity, I pray that they will understand where they came from and where they're going in their growth, and that you would help us all, Father. We need to continue to grow in Jesus Christ. And we ask you to do these things for us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You know, as Christians, we should go through stages of maturity. Sometimes in Christianity, when we emphasize the salvation of lost souls, sometimes we emphasize the salvation of lost souls to the exclusion of their spiritual growth when they do get saved. We're thinking in terms of we got to see people saved. I love to see people saved. Nothing like being there to witness the natural birth of a child. Nothing like being there to witness the spiritual birth of a child of God. Beautiful, beautiful occasion. But that's just the beginning. That's not the end of our efforts. That's the beginning of our efforts to take that little babe and watch that child grow and do those things that are necessary in our lives, and they must do the things necessary in their lives to grow. It's just like the stages of natural maturity through which we go. When we were talking to somebody that was visiting the church, and I asked the little girl, I said, "So how old are you?" And she said, "I'm 5. I said, "I know you probably find this hard to believe, but I was 5 one time." She looked at me like, "Oh, really?" We go through natural stages of growth in our physical lives, and we should go through spiritual stages of growth in our Christian lives. Now, physically, we start out as newborns. If you want to know what that's like, go back to the nursery. And you'll see some of those. Or you see some women around here who will soon, Lord willing, have newborns. They got some of that going on. That's how it all begins. And then we progress to full maturity through our lives. But you know something? And that's a natural thing. Christians, on the other hand, don't always go through spiritual maturity. They don't always grow to full maturity. A lot of times, a Christian can be stunted in his growth or her growth. And there are a variety of reasons why that might happen. A variety of things that would happen in your life to cause you to stop growing. So today what we want to do is we want to examine the stages of maturity in your Christian life so you can see where you are in your growth. And so you can see where the Lord wants you to go, and you can find out whether you're on track. In other words, if you've been saved 15, 20 years, and you're still very much a child in your spiritual maturity, something's wrong. But that can be fixed. It doesn't have to stay that way. And if you're newly saved, you can see how exciting it is to go from your spiritual birth to full spiritual maturity. Well, obviously, because of our text here, you know what the first stage is. The first stage is birth. Jesus Christ said, "Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." You enter the kingdom of God as a little child. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, he says, "Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." You know what the first part of that verse is? As newborn babes. As newborn babes. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And so when a person is saved, he's not saved in infancy. Now, I grew up and had the religious training that we're born as children of God and that we enter the kingdom of God in our infancy, in our infant baptism. Jesus is not talking to babies here. Jesus is talking to full-grown men that have come to ask him questions. These are Pharisees, and he says, no, you enter as a little child, not in childhood, but as a little child. Well, what is that? In other words, he's telling us, to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born into the kingdom of God. See, no matter how many years you've lived, that is, how old you are by your birth certificate, no matter how many years you have been an active member of a church or an organized religion, if you have never been born again, you are not a child of God. That's a surprise to people sometimes. I thoroughly love it, but get the opportunity to do personal work frequently. That is, to visit with people individually. And when people have a religious upbringing, like I did, it's common for them to believe that they are already Christians. Because that's what they've been told. That's what they've been taught. But when you go to the Bible says that a Christian is a person who is born again. Jesus said it this way to a religious man, a guy named Nicodemus who was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. He came to see Jesus one night. He came by night because he didn't want to be seen by the other Pharisees. The religious people weren't real happy with Jesus Christ back in Jesus' day. He came to Jesus and he says, you know, you're a teacher. You had to come from God. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Amen. Except a man, he says, be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatsoever is born of flesh is flesh. That's our natural birth. And whatsoever is born of spirit is spirit. That's our spiritual birth. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Nicodemus was blown away. He'd never heard something like that. He had no idea how to digest that statement. Now he learned, as we have, that the new birth is simply a matter of trusting Jesus Christ and everything that Jesus Christ has already done for us. The Bible says it this way, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You know, we in personal work, we used to ask people, said, are you a Christian? And if they weren't an atheist, if they weren't a Jew, or if they weren't a Muslim, for instance, or a Buddhist, they'd say yes. And so, if you were hoping that they would become a Christian through your personal witness, you were out of bullets, so to speak. A better question is, are you born again? And if a person is honest with you, who has a religious upbringing, who's not saved, who's not born again, they'll say, I'm not sure I know what you're talking about. That's what Nicodemus did. And then you can show them in the Bible why it is necessary for a person to be born again and how they can be born again because of what Jesus Christ has already done. So I say to you today, if you've not been born again or you're not sure, well, you cannot even begin to grow into spiritual maturity. You've not even been born. You can remedy that by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and begin your spiritual growth with spiritual birth. It's wonderful. So that's the first stage. The first stage is birth. And I'm looking around at a lot of people who have been born again. And you know you've born. I'll show you. How many of you here today are absolutely certain because you remember the day it happened, you are born again? Okay, see what we're talking about there. Now, so the vast majority of the people here are like, okay, Pop, I got that one. The pacifier's out of my mouth. I want to know more about growing. Okay. Well, it starts out with an appetite for the words of God. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. I've talked to people who were born again when they were in their childhood years, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. They're now 20, 25 years old. And I'll ask this question. Have you ever read through the Bible one time? No. Where do you think they are in their spiritual growth? Still babes. Because the milk has not even, all the milk that mother had in the Word of God has not even been taken in for nourishment. But the second stage then is childhood. This is not going to be very difficult for you to follow because we're following the natural stages of growth and comparing them to spiritual stages of growth. And the second stage is childhood. In childhood, it is essential that you're nourished in the words of God. Now, babes need milk to live and to grow, and so you feed on the words of God. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And here's the beautiful thing about Christian childhood. God has especially blessed children to believe and know His words. Let me say it again. God has especially blessed children to believe and know His words. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We won't return to Mark chapter 10. You've seen it. You understand the text. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let me say this. Timothy, in this passage we're going to read, was literally a child when this took place. So we want to talk about helping children in their childhood grow to spiritual maturity. But if you haven't been saved very long, think of yourself as a child. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 15. Paul speaking to Timothy, and he says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus, which is in Christ Jesus. He's reminding Timothy that he was a child when he began to know the holy scriptures. And you know, the beautiful thing is, you don't want to assume that children can't understand these words we're talking about today. Because God does something very special for children to be able to know Holy Scriptures. And you're thinking, well, I don't think they're old enough. This Bible is a very, very special book. If we had a room full of kindergartners and I was trying to teach them physics, we would be having some grave difficulty today. But the unique thing about the Bible is you can take folks who are young in the Lord or who are literally children and teach them what I'm teaching you today, and they can get this. They can get this. Look, I'll show you why. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Pay very careful attention to the verses we're looking at today because you're in here. You're in here. You need to know where you are in your spiritual growth so you know where you're going and how to get there. Luke chapter 10, and look at verse 21. You see, when Jesus Christ... Here's the thing about children. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10, verse 21. We're going to read it here in just a sec. But get this picture. When I'm teaching a little child something, they already know that they don't know. I mean, they may pretend, they may want you, you know, but they know they don't know. And if you get their attention and they know they're learning, they will take that. I just got a testimony just this week from a young man who did not like math the whole time that he was going through school, unlike Tony, who did like math. He didn't like it. But now he's in a job where he's having to use math every single day, and he says, I so much appreciate what I was taught in math because I use it every day in my job. So children may not like to be taught, but they have this they understand that they don't know. Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, he was talking to a lot of spiritually clueless people who thought they knew more than Jesus Christ. You can't teach a person like that anything. So Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 21, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Do you know that there are children who can absorb the truth of these words in a special way that God has equipped them that adults can't get when the adults think they know more than the person who's trying to teach them? One day, we were doing some public ministry. I think I was in Florida. And there were several of us, and we had gospel tracts, and there was one man that was preaching publicly. And all kinds of people were passing by, and one pedestrian passed by and engaged me in a conversation. And he wanted to argue that the things of the Bible weren't true. And I said, are you in college? He said, I am. Where are you going to college? And he was going to a seminary. Okay. And he questioned the new birth. He questioned the ability of Jesus Christ to cause a person to become a Christian by simply receiving him as Savior, by faith. And he wanted to argue about that, and I didn't want to argue about that. And I said, you know, this is a strange thing. I have a child, I think Bo was probably 3 years old at the time. And I said, one day he was looking at one of these tracts that were, a tract is a little pamphlet, you know, gospel pamphlet. I said, he was looking at one of these tracts that we're passing out here today. He was in the back seat of our Suburban. And he was reading that tract, and this tract had scripture verses here and pictures here. So every time you turn it, there's the scripture verses, and here's a picture. Picture's worth 1,000 words. He jumped up with that little tract in his hand, and he said to me, Dad, Jesus had to go way, way, way down to save us from our sins. I said, you know, this is a remarkable thing. A 3-year-old child knows more about the Bible than you do, and you're getting a seminary college education. That was the end of our conversation, of course. But the point is that children grasp it. They get it. You say, how is that? God does that for them. He reveals that unto babes. And so if you haven't been saved very long, even though you may be in your physical adulthood, and you come to this Bible and say, God, I'm coming to this as a little child that just wants to learn, He will teach you. Now, if you're parents and you're raising your children at home, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Because we don't want to lose what we've already seen with what Jesus said and what Paul said to Timothy. Children really get this. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at verses 6 and 7. You've seen these before recently, but repetition's a great teacher. Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at verses 6 and 7. These words, now God is addressing Israel, he's addressing the families, and he said, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto whom? Thy children." And you know who the teacher is? The teacher's mom and dad. "And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You know, that's a lot. That's covering a lot of territory in your day. It's covering a lot of territory in your day. He says that's what you need to do at home. Now, parents, if you have children living with you at home, you know what you need to do? You need to do what the Bible says. That's right. You need to get this Bible and teach them just the way he says. Talk of them when you're sitting in your house, walking by the way, lying down and rising up. Now see, we teach Sunday school here to children. Hey, we even have a children's church going on right now. If you're looking around here wondering where the little kids are, they're over there. If they're not in the nursery, they're over there either in a toddler's class or a children's preaching class, receiving the Word of God. We have that. We have Bible clubs on Wednesday night for the children to learn. And some children really like that and say, "Come on, Dad, we're going. Come on, Mom, we're going." We do that, but may I tell you, your teaching your children at home is indispensable to their Christian growth. Childhood. And indispensable to you. I was 32 years old before I started reading the Bible. That's terrible. But that's the way it was, because when I grew up, we weren't encouraged to read the Bible. Matter of fact, kind of discouraged from it in a way. And so when I started reading the Bible, every day, I was still president of the bank at that time, every day that I would get home from work, I would go straight upstairs. Our bedroom had a small closet that was a dormer, and it was designed in such a way that I had a desk and a lamp in there. And as soon as I got home, I'd take my suit off, get into something comfortable, I would sit down and open the Bible and begin to read. And you know what? Listen, God was helping me grow in spiritual childhood. Hard for a person who... I went to a high school where they were going to train us to be... I was going to be a priest. Did that when I was a freshman in high school. I was already, you know, successful in the banking business. But when I got home in the afternoon and opened this Bible, I was just a child. Just the fact that you've got natural growth doesn't mean you're adept at these things. It's always dangerous, it's always dangerous for people right after they get saved to go to a Bible study on the book of Revelation. Yeah, because you don't get a foundation of growth. You need to get some milk, get some growth in there. Now, let's go to the next stage. What will you think that might be? We've had birth. We've had childhood. The next one is going to be youth. Youth. The third stage is youth. What is youth? Youth is the stage between childhood and adulthood. So it's kind of a long stage. Too long for the kids that are in it. Right? It was like, man, this is taking forever. Hey, let me tell you something. How many years is that? 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. The 7 years that you are a teen that seem to take an eternity, when you get into your 50s and 60s, they will blow by like a day. The sun hadn't changed its pace, but boy, there's something on the inside that really changes your perspective. Now the trouble with the stage of youth is twofold. Number one, either Christians get stuck in their childhood. That's a bad thing. You got somebody who's been saved a long time but hasn't grown. That happens a lot of times in churches where the emphasis is always on soul winning every Sunday morning, and the person only comes to church on Sunday morning. They don't get anything to help them get some growth going. They've been saved for 20 years. Whew! You know what? You got an adult who acts like a kid when trouble comes. Like a child. You want to see how a child acts sometimes when they're in church? My office was right next to the nursery, and I'm in there a lot of times right before Sunday school starts. And some kids will show up in the nursery. Our granddaughter did that very same thing today, and they're like, you know, it's real hard to like make sure you're ready for Sunday school with that going on in the next room. But you know, there are some adults who've been saved 20 years in church, and as soon as trouble comes, they come to church and they're like, you know what that is? And grown. They're acting like a kid, like a child. Like a child. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And when people get offended at things like that, you know what the problem is? They are not as spiritually mature as they thought they were. They're childish. So youth is a difficult stage because you're not going to stay stuck in childhood. You can't just, it's time to wean and grow. The second problem with this stage is some people assume they can just jump from childhood right into full adulthood. If you miss the stage of youth, let's say you're older when you get saved and you just want to skip the stage of youth and go be a productive a child of God without going through this stage, you're not going to be strong. You're going to be like a junior high school student trying to play professional football. You're going to get eaten up. You have to grow through your youth. It's necessary. Now, to grow properly, obviously you can't skip this stage. So what do? Well, turn to Luke chapter 2. Jesus Christ had to go through this stage. Luke chapter 2 is about the life of Jesus Christ. He went through this stage. But it's amazing how he did. We sometimes assume that teenagers, because of their awkwardness at that age and because of that little bit of rebellion that wants to surge up, it's natural. We sometimes assume that they can't be more responsible than they are. Mom wants to continue to, or dad wants to continue to do many things for them. But look at Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 2, when Jesus Christ is left in Jerusalem, verse 42, he was 12 years old. Luke chapter 2, verse 42, they've come for Passover, and then Mary and Joseph have gone, and Jesus is still there. He was 12 years old. See that? Well, when they found him, look at verse 46. It came to pass after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. Look at this. Both hearing them and asking them questions. You see, in your youth, you really begin to hear well enough to ask pertinent questions. You can always tell whether somebody is grasping something you're trying to teach them by the questions they ask. If they ask questions that are pertinent to the thing you've been teaching, and in addition to what you've been teaching for clarification, you're talking to somebody that's been listening to you and getting it. Jesus Christ said, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, about Jesus Christ, thou hast given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And the Bible says, he opened my ear. Jesus was listening every day, and the Lord was speaking. And so here he's listening to the doctors in the temple. He hears them, and he's asking them questions. He's much more astute as a 12-year-old than we give teenagers the credit for being. Look at this in verse 47. All that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. When Jesus Christ was asked a question, he knew the words of God well enough to answer as the oracles of God, 1 Peter chapter says, chapter 4 says. In other words, this whole thing about Bible memory drills for children and all that kind of stuff, that's not just a child's exercise to see who can win the most stars, the boys or the girls. That's not just a child's exercise to see who gets the Snicker bar at the end of Sunday school. Learning those scriptures is implanted in the heart of that child and that mind to help be able to say, this is the answer, as the oracles of God. You see, and in youth, what happens is you begin to understand that what God said pertains to everything in your life. In the Sunday school lesson that we had this morning, and Tony gets down to the point in a submission about faith, that the failure to submit is a failure of faith and to trust God. Do you understand how significant that statement is? You see, two generations ago, I guess you call it two generations ago, Bible went out of school. And prayer went out of school, and God went with them. So since 1964, which is 50 plus years, we have generations that have been taught there is no God and nothing pertains to God. When you take God away and the trust of God away, now you can begin to attack the authorities. When you hear people talk about our president and they say, oh, Clinton this or Bush that or Trump that, you know what that is? That is a lack of respect for a position of honor. And so what do you hear the children say? My old man this, my old mama, or my old woman that. My old mama. Maybe they do say that. But you know what that is? That is a lack of respect for a position of authority. This thing with attacks on law enforcement, you know all that is? It is to break your trust in authority, local authorities. So they challenge the teachers, they challenge the parents, they challenge law enforcement, they challenge government. You know what we're creating? Anarchy. You know where we understand that? From the oracles of God. When you go through youth in the Bible and you see the oracles of God, you realize this life doesn't all pertain to me. It's not all about me. It's about a whole, it's everybody here. You begin to, let me give you an example. When our children were growing up, among other things, I coached soccer. And when I don't want to make this a long illustration, but you might have seen this one day driving by a soccer field on a Saturday morning. They would have 11 kids that were 6 years old on one side, another 11 kids on 6 years old on the other side, and they would run all around the field. One kid had the ball, and everybody else, like a big mob, just followed that ball. They were like a big swarm of gnats right in front of your face. Like it. And the coaches on both sides of the lines were saying, pass the ball, pass the ball. Well, at 6 years old, nobody passes the ball. They pick it up and go home with it. And they realize, wait, we're trying to teach children something that they don't know how to do at that age. So they changed the whole structure of it. And you teach them to do that when they're older. In youth, you go from, it's all about me, and I'm the most special kid in the entire universe. My Sunday school teacher thinks so. My mother thinks so. Everybody except for these other kids in the nursery thinks so. You go through that stage until you're kind of cresting toward adulthood and you realize, you know what, this isn't all about me. It's all about God. And it's all about what God says. It's all about how what God says fits for here. And you start looking around and you go, you know something? God is true and the rest of this stuff is messed up, including me. That's a very important lesson to learn, and you have to go through youth to understand that. And Jesus understood that. And they were looking and they were just astonished. Keep reading very quickly and we'll move on. Verse 49, Jesus said to his mother, wished you not that I must be about my Father's business? You begin to realize, hey, it's not about me training for the job I'm going to get down here, but God has a purpose in my life. And in your youth, you begin to figure that out. Listen, I guarantee you there are people that don't know this that ought to have known this. I have been hospital rooms with people in their 60s who've been saved since they were teenagers, and they're spared through a medical emergency, and they say to me, God obviously has a reason for me to be here. I just don't know what my purpose is. And I'm thinking, you've been saved 50 years. And you don't know that your father has had business for you? You know what they're saying? I'm still a baby. I'm still a child. And what happened is they never went through youth and learned God has a purpose for me. In verse 51, Jesus goes home with Mary and Joseph. He's subject to them. So in childhood, in youth, you're still subject to your parents if you're still living at home while you are growing in the Lord. Jesus increased, verse 52, in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. So as you're growing in stature, as you're growing physically, you should likewise be growing in wisdom. Children, by the time you have come through and you're 20 years old, you ought to have a depth of wisdom that is based in the oracles of God, so you know how to live and defend yourself in life. I'll show you why. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. We don't give, sometimes we don't give children, I'm talking about youth, I'm talking about that age. Sometimes we don't, 1 John is where you're going, chapter 2. First time we don't give youth enough credit to understand, they need to know Father has business. Look at this thing in 1 John chapter 2 at verses 13 and 14. John says, I write unto you fathers because you've known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, here it is, young men, youth. Because you've overcome the wicked one. That's remarkable. In youth, children ought to know that there is an adversary to God and that they have the strength and the word of God to overcome him. That way, when they are tempted with youthful lusts, they can turn. They don't have to give in to those youthful lusts. They can overcome the wicked one. Verse 14, I've written unto you fathers because you've known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you young men, because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you and you have overcome the wicked one. You see, but you get to the end of your youth cycle before you go into adulthood. And at that point, you ought to know there's an adversary and I have the tools and the word of God to contend with him. And there is a God and I am about his business. And when these other opportunities present themselves in the world, I'm strong enough to not give in. How many Christians do you think have missed this stage of youth? So we go from birth to childhood to youth, and then watch this. We get into adulthood. In adulthood, you're very strong and stable in your relationship with the Lord. You were here in 1 John. He says, I've written unto you fathers because you know him. You've known him. He says that in verse 13. He says that in verse 14. You know something? I didn't realize this. I had to go through my birth and childhood and youth, and I started later. I told you, I was in my childhood when I was 32 years old in this. I had to learn this, but it's true. You'd listen very carefully. You don't know God just because you know about God. Oh, there's a difference there. Everybody in this room knows about God, or at least some things about him. But that knowledge of God is the same thing that happens in your marriage. You thought you knew who you were marrying when you got married. I did. She did. Wow, it wasn't long into the marriage and we're like, wow. I didn't know this. And I mean, that's part of building the relationship. I don't say that. I mean, we're all laughing because it is funny to consider it that way. But you know, as you begin to really understand the complexities of the person that you married and the depth of that personality and the way that the love is manifested, there's just no way when you marry you're going to know everything that you're going to find out after living together under the same roof for, 20 or 30 years. Man, after you've been together for a long time, you really get to know each other. You know how you think. You know how you react. You know what you like. You know what you don't like. You know who you love and what you don't love and all those kind of things. There is a familiarity there, listen, that nobody else on this earth has but you and your spouse. And man, when it gets like that between you and God, where you know him, I mean like that, how he thinks, what he likes, what he doesn't like, what he wants you to do. There's such a relationship there. And in adulthood, that's what it's like. I don't know about him. I know him. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, that I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his death. Paul knew him. And he said, for me, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Man, he knew him. He knew him so well. That's adulthood. It's one of those. You know what happens is that you are very strong in the Lord. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, Look at that. Steadfast. Nothing can shake you. Unmovable. Why? Because you are established on the strong foundation of God's words. Listen. And doing God's words. When Jesus Christ talked about a man building his house on a rock, he didn't say people that are listening to me. He said people that hear what I say and do them. You start listening to God and doing what He says, your foundation gets strong, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Adulthood, beautiful, beautiful strength that you have with the Lord. Solid foundation. Solid foundation. But you know what it's coupled with? 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. You need to go over there. You have to see this. A person who really grows into the spiritual maturity of adulthood, listen, never forgets where he came from. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3 is about Solomon. Solomon is was the wisest man, the richest man of his day. And I mean, if you read all that Solomon wisdom there, the only one wiser than him is Jesus Christ, God Almighty. But in 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon is now king of Israel in his father's place. The Lord appears to him in verse 5, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, and ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon asks for wisdom. Watch what he says in verse 7. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. You know, Solomon, Jesus Christ, when we started this, said, you want to enter the kingdom of God? You're going to have to enter as a little child. And Solomon, after all of those years of preparation now to be king of Israel, when given the opportunity to ask for anything he wanted from God, said, I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And he asked for wisdom and understanding. When you get into adulthood, the beauty of real adulthood in spiritual maturity is you know God and you are solidly founded on His words. But you remember in humility, I am but a little child. I got into this as a little child. And I will live through this as a little child, yet with spiritual maturity. Yet with spiritual maturity. So beautiful. So beautiful. Now, there are other things to say about this. I just want to mention where they go, because we haven't completed all there is to spiritual maturity. But we've said enough for this morning. From adulthood, you go to parent. That's when you learn it well enough you can actually see somebody else and teach them what you've learned and bring others to Christ. Paul says, you know, you may have, what, thousands of instructors, but you have not many fathers. He was a spiritual father to a man named Onesimus. He actually brought him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that you become a senior saint. That's when you get the gray hair. And you know what goes with the gray hair? Supposedly? Wisdom. Isn't it funny how children will take from grandfather what they won't take from dad? Isn't that amazing? But what do? They recognize that with all this gray hair came years of perspective and wisdom. That is, if it stayed in your head. Wisdom and prayer. Because you got time now to talk to God. Malcolm Dickman, when his legs gave out, called me because he was a very active man. And he said, I'm so upset because I can't do what I used to do as a young man. I said, finally, Brother Dickman, you have the time you've always wanted to have. Now you can talk to Jesus all day long. And from that, you go to glory when you finish your course. I didn't want to pursue those any further because we've been through some real good territory. My question to you is this. What stage are you in? Where are you in your spiritual maturity? And I don't mean like to convince the person sitting next to you. I just want you to know you're sitting next to an adult. If you have to tell them, you aren't. Now, where are you? And you and God get together and you look yourself in the mirror from God's perspective. What are you? Are you even born again? Have you even become a child of God? Have you even entered the kingdom of God? People say, well, that I won't know that till I die. No, the Bible says, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. It is within you. You don't wait to enter the kingdom of God after you die. You get into the kingdom of God when you are born again. Again. Are you even in the kingdom of God? Have you had a spiritual birth? Are you born again? If not, you know, that's something that you really need to take care of. I would say today, but perhaps you have to digest this. Then say, hey, preacher, can we get together? I'm hearing you, but I'm not getting it, and I need to talk to you more. What time? Midnight? On your schedule? I'll make my schedule work for your schedule. And we'll get together. We'll talk about that. Because I've had a number of people tell me, I didn't realize that. I want to know more about it. I'll meet you anytime, any place. Amen. Or you can take care of it today. You say, man, the Holy Spirit's just been convicting me. I'm not born again. I need to take care of that today. You got that opportunity. If you have been born again, I want to ask you something. Where are you? Listen, don't stay stuck in infancy. Don't stay stuck in childhood. Grow up. Didn't your parents tell you that when you were a little kid? You just need to grow up, kid. I won't say it to you that way, but you know what? You need to grow up, kid. And if you aren't growing, you know, find out where you stopped growing. And begin from there. You can't skip it. You go back to wherever it was. Humble yourself as a little child and begin to grow from there into your next stage of maturity. You'll never regret it. Never regret it. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful today to be able to see these stages of spiritual maturity in the Bible. I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, minister these words to us. They're so valuable. They're so, so valuable, and they're so helpful. So, Father, right now, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, help every person who's praying. I realize some are just enduring the invitation. Hurry up, let's get this done. We'll sing the hymn and go. But there are some here today, right now, that are praying. They're serious. They heard something. You've stirred them. They want to do something about what they've heard. Would you help them? Would you help them to know how to respond in this invitation to what you just showed them so that they can begin to do something that you want them to do about this? And if we have anybody here that's not born again, Father, would you encourage them to mention to Randy, to mention to me, mention to Tony or somebody else? You know, I that's very interesting. I need to know more about that so that we can have time to talk and open the Bible and see how to be saved. Thank you for this, Father. I pray that you will have your will and your way in this.